As I was studying for this message, okay, title of the message is Power in the Blood. Okay? And when Joni was singing, and we had like two songs today, this is part of the confirmation process, I guess. We had two songs on the blood. She was preaching while she was singing about the blood. 2 weeks ago, I was headed this way. I was thinking about the blood. I get here, they're singing about the blood. So I was like, okay, I'm going to research the blood. Amen? So I'm going to preach today about how physical blood compares to the blood of Jesus and his spiritual behaviors. Okay? And God's character and his behaviors and how they are like the blood. And when I say the blood, I'm also talking about the blood that's in you. I'm talking about how he specifically designed a red liquid inside of you to perform the way that it does. Without the blood, there's no life. Isn't it amazing how God made liquids, how you have to have liquids, water and blood. Both baptisms. Baptize in the water, you baptize in the Holy Ghost through the blood. Two liquids that are vital to your survival, and if you don't have them, there's no life. So, I've got a lot to read today out of the book and out of my phone. There's plenty I got to talk about, so I'm going to try to hustle and stay on time here, because I got a lot to talk about, and it's exciting. I just get excited about it anyway. So I'm going to read, okay, so let's start in, you can turn to Ephesians 4. You can also find Hebrews 12. Ephesians 4 and Hebrews 12. And if you want to go to 2 Kings, it's near 1 Chronicles, where we're in tithes and offerings. The rest of these, I just wrote them down. I've got a lot of the scriptures, but I just wrote them down. I'll read them to you. Okay, so I'm going to start with transporting, okay? Let me try to gather my thoughts here. Okay. So I researched the blood. And I researched the anatomy and the physiology of blood. What is blood and how does it operate? Okay. So number one, if you want to take notes, I've got 3 to 4 different highlighted points I want to talk about. One of them is called transport, okay? It's responsible for transporting, okay? Number one is oxygen and nutrients. It carries oxygen. Our blood carries oxygen from the lungs to the body's tissues and brings digestive nutrients like sugars, vitamins, and minerals to the cells that need them, okay? Now, also, hormones. It also is a distributor. So we have the blood that carries, and the blood also distributes hormones from endocrine glands to their target organs to regulate processes like growth and metabolism. Okay, now, in Ephesians 4, I'm going to show you how the blood is very symbolic to the way you're supposed to be. Okay, are you ready? Let me get there myself. Ephesians 4, verse 15, it starts, it says, but speaking the truth in love, I'm reading out of the Amplified, but speaking the truth in love in all things, both our speech and our lives. Don't ever forget that. Both in our speech and everything that we do, expressing his truth, let us grow up. What does the blood do? It distributes hormones from endocrine glands to their target organs to regulate processes like what? Growth and metabolism. What are we supposed to be doing? Growing in all things into what? Into him. We're not growing in all things so that we can better ourselves, which is great, but we're supposed to be growing into his likeness. Let us grow up in all things into him, following his example, who is the head, Christ. Okay, verse 16. From him, the whole body, Think about this. See how the body compares to the blood, how the blood helps the body, and how the church is supposed to be helping the body, etc. From him, the whole body, the church, in all its various parts, joined and knitted firmly together by what every joint supplies, when each part is working properly, causes the body to what? Grow and mature, building itself up in unselfish love. That is the maturing process. That is full maturity when you are operating daily in unselfish love. Not thinking about yourself all the time, not always complaining about what's best for you. What about what's best for everybody? There's nothing wrong with bettering yourself as an individual, but it's also your responsibility to develop the collective. If Jesus only cared about himself, he would have never preached a single sermon. But it wasn't about Jesus. It was about his people. It was about making the collective better. Both speech and our lives expressing his truth, let us grow up. We are carriers. We are carriers. Just like your blood is a carrier, we are carriers of the truth. When you walk around, do people see the truth on the inside of you? Or do they say, oh my God, here he comes. Oh God, when you walk into a door, they get excited, or do they dread you walking into the door? We are carriers. When you walk into a place, people should see Jesus in you and on you. They should hear Jesus in you and on you. When each part is working properly, it causes the body to grow. If a part isn't functioning correctly, the body doesn't grow. The same applies to the church. Same applies to you. You are the church. When you go to your public places, you have to remember that you are carrying the truth. Isn't it amazing how not only are you carrying everything that's inside of you physically, everything you have learned spiritually is within you. The brain itself, and it's, I'm going to start preaching about the brain. I got to stay focused on the blood here. Your brain alone is so magnificent. I don't even have time to talk about it. But I'll just stay focused. In everything you do, you are carrying the truth. Your words, behaviors, actions, your personality are all carriers of the truth or opposite of the truth. Do you have a problem making friends? Maybe it's not them. If you've been judged by multiple people and they don't want to be your friend, there's a good chance it's not them, it's you. If you have the personality of a mean person, a mean-spirited person, and you're always just negative, or everything that comes out of your mouth is always negative, and your personality for everybody has witnessed your personality and come to the conclusion, not judging you, because that's what religious people will say, oh, y'all are just judging me. Oh, they're making a divine decision based on your behavior, amen, and your personality. They are drawing a conclusion about who you are as a person. Your personality matters. Take it serious. There's nothing wrong with being, I'm not saying you can't be a boss, because a boss isn't always going to say the positive things, amen? God wasn't always positive. There were some things where he's like, hey, there's some negative things about to go down. And there were some negative things that happened. He's a positive God, but when it comes to judgment, he don't mess around, amen? Think about this. If you are destroying the blood, you are destroying the process. When we sing about the blood, we preach about the blood, or we talk about the blood, it's the most important thing. When there is a problem in the body, what do they normally do? They take a blood test. Because the blood is a determining factor of something that's either wrong or right in the blood, in the body. So if you are destroying the blood, you are destroying the process. Think about your diet. It's the same thing. Whatever you're putting in is going into the blood. And then the blood is responsible for maintaining the body. And if the blood's not healthy, the body won't be healthy. If you go to a church that doesn't preach the blood, you better get up and walk out. Amen? You won't have to do that here. Amen? If they don't preach the blood or they tiptoe around it, there's a problem. If they're afraid of offending or they're thinking this might be too gory, if it's a problem, God wouldn't have talked about it. If it wasn't important, God would have never mentioned it. He'd have said Jesus went to the cross. He would have never said anything about shedding his blood. If they don't talk about blood, and if you're a visitor here and maybe this is a little too hard for you, maybe you're... Maybe you need to find another church, I don't know. But I'm here to tell you, if you go to a church and they don't preach the blood, I'm telling you right now, the Bible's not being preached there. The blood is numero uno. It's the key to getting to heaven. It's the key to salvation. It's the key to healing. It's all in the blood. There is no alternative. Number two, as I'm moving on here. Okay, talking about the blood and how it removes waste products, okay? We're going to go to Hebrews 12. If you want to turn there, you can. Hebrews 12, okay? The blood transports waste products such as carbon dioxide and urea to organs like the lungs and the kidneys for removal from the body. So the blood is also a cleaner. It's responsible for taking bad things and putting them in the proper place. Does this sound like a Christian to you? Does this sound like the way you should be operating? It takes bad things and starts putting them in the proper place so they can get out of your life. Isn't that amazing how the blood does that? Little old liquid blood. Forming and flowing through your body, constantly, constantly flowing all the way through your body, just constantly moving around in there. Been doing that since you were breathing. Since you were in your mother's womb. Hebrews 12, watch what it says here. Verse 1. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses who by faith have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping off every unnecessary weight and the sin which is so easily and cleverly entangles us. Satan's clever, guys. You better learn how that devil thinks, because he is very, very good at finding your weak spot. He knows all your weak spots. He's seen you do them. Amen. He's heard you say them, and he's seen you do them. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. So here we are, focusing on what matters. Okay, verse 2. Watch this. Looking away from all that will distract us. And focusing our eyes. See, when you get focused, all the wrong things get out of here. Just like the blood does when it removes bad things. When you get focused on something, all those wrong things start moving away from you. But you got to be focused. You've got to have a mind of looking straight ahead. Wealthy people will tell you that they have seen people fail from attempting too many things, the same as attempting not enough things. You can fail by doing too much, but you can also fail by not doing enough. If you're going to be successful in business, you've got to be able to find the focal point, the focus, where it is, where it's best for your company. You've got to find a focus and stick to it. He says, focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author and perfecter of our faith, the first incentive for our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. Remember that, brings your faith to maturity. A lot of people just think that faith is just, oh, I believe there's a Jesus. No. You need the faith principle for healing. You need the faith principle to minister to lost people. You need the faith principle to get through your financial problems. Faith doesn't just apply to receiving Jesus. It applies to all parts of your life. It says, One who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, disregarding the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whew. So much I need to talk about. Okay, let me go back to reading this point. Okay, now, I want you to listen to this. Okay, we're talking about focusing. Okay, stripping off things that don't belong and focusing on something. Okay, now watch this. This is blood's role during cardio exercise. Okay, when you do cardiovascular exercise, your blood plays a vital role by transporting essential resources to working muscles and carrying away waste products. The heart pumps faster and stronger to increase blood flow, which is then redirected to the large muscle groups being used. So the harder you pump the muscle, the more the muscle starts pumping the blood to what's being used. Does that sound like the faith muscle? Okay? So, the blood carries away bad things and it focuses on muscles being used and pumps faster and stronger. When you start running the race that is set before you, the faith muscle gets stronger and becomes more focused. My God, y'all got to get a hold of that. You got to get a hold of that. The more you operate the faith muscle, the stronger it gets. What will they tell you when you do exercise? I don't care if it's muscle building or cardio. When you work a muscle, it has to grow. It is broken down during exercise. When you're exercising, the muscle gets broken down. But what happens then is the body produces something to cause it to grow. So after you work it and break it down and break it down, it immediately starts to grow. And then it gets stronger. And then the next time you lift or work out or whatever, it becomes easier and easier and easier. That is the faith principle. That is how you work your faith. You think going in the prayer closet for a minute is tough. As a new Christian, it should be. It probably will be. But the more you're in there, the more you want to be in there. And the more that you're in there, the stronger the faith muscle gets. When you run the race and start praying and using the muscle, the get rid of waste process happens faster. See, when you start exercising and working that faith muscle, it starts pumping faster and faster. And then guess what? The process of removing the waste goes faster. So it removes waste at a pace, okay? But when you start doing cardiovascular or exercise of some sort, the process speeds up. We all want the process to speed up, right? We don't want bad things in us, spiritually or physically. But when you start exercising the faith muscle, things start working faster in your life. The bad things start moving away quicker. The bad things were probably already trying to get out of there because your body and your spirit man is trying to get rid of them at a certain pace. But when you start working it and start working the faith muscle, those things start getting away a lot faster. Why? Because you're exercising it. The reason that happens is because you're focused. You have to find a focal point. You've got to learn the nature of God, how He operates, how He builds a relationship with you. I'm working on that myself. Just because I'm a preacher doesn't mean I got it figured out. Because I can guarantee you right now, there are things He's talking to me about that I've been practicing that I'm like, I'm not very good at this. I've never been good at it. But I'm practicing it because it's God's character. It's the way God builds His relationship with you. Okay, now, this is the one I'm probably going to spend a lot of time on. This one is protection, how the blood protects. Okay? We're going to talk about immune defense and clotting, okay? Immune defense and clotting. Immune defense. Blood carries white blood cells and antibodies to fight infection and foreign invaders. Okay? Let me read my notes here. Make sure I'm doing this great because this is so good right here. Okay? Now, watch this. When I read that, And I'm going to show you in 2 Kings. If you want to turn to 2 Kings, you can. I'm going to show you something. The more I read 2 Kings, the more I was like, wait a minute. I think blood has a special characteristic about it when it operates in the blood. Okay? It has a process. I want to show you this process. So I went and Googled, is there a blinding by good cells in the body to keep bad things from attaching to good cells? Okay? This is what I found. It says, yes, the immune system uses a process called neutralization to prevent pathogens. And if you're a doctor, you've probably heard all this. I'm probably preaching to the choir on y'all, but to y'all, but I got to preach this, okay? I got to preach this. This is good. It's called neutralization to prevent pathogens from attaching to and infecting healthy cells. This is done through specialized immune proteins called antibodies, which blind, in parentheses, it says blind, or block the pathogen's ability to bind with normal host cells. Okay? Now, okay, where I go? Okay, watch this. When the body, this is how antibodies block pathogens, okay? Number one, it's called antigen binding. When the body detects a pathogen, a virus or bacteria, B cells produce Y-shaped antibodies. I'm going to get to the Y-shaped antibodies here and just say, I'm going to show you something. That I had to go look that up too. I mean, the more I dug, the heavier the shovel got, you know? I just kept digging. It produces Y-shaped antibodies that are custom designed to recognize and bind to specific molecules on the pathogen surface. These molecules are called antigens. Okay, now watch this. I went and Googled the Y. Now, I don't have time to preach this because it would take too long. But if you study the Hebrew letter Y, which is way deeper than I'm probably going to get into, okay? But I want to show you what the letter Y in the Hebrew alphabet, what it says about it in Google, okay? The Hebrew letter Yud, I think is how you say it. It's Y-U-D. Is unique, because I had to go look at, okay, I had to tell you what I looked up here. I said, what is unique about the Hebrew letter Y? Okay, go back here. Okay, it is unique because it is the smallest letter in the alphabet. Yet, it carries immense symbolic and theological significance. It is the first letter of the divine name Yahweh. That just about set me on fire when I was in that office earlier. I looked it up in there. I was like, I got to go deeper. This is so good. It is the first letter of the name Yahweh. The source of all creation. And symbolizes humility, wisdom, and the divine point of energy. Holy Lord. That is good stuff. Okay, now the uniqueness of the U, the smallest letter. As the smallest letter, it represents humility and the idea great things can come from small beginnings. That's that you might be weak, but I'm making you stronger thing that I was talking about earlier. This is referenced in the phrase jot or tittle, which comes from the Greek word for yud, as noted in the Gospel of Matthew. Part of God's name, it is the first letter of the Tetragrammaton, the four-letter Hebrew name of God, Yahweh, and appears twice in the divine name. It represents the point of light from which the physical world is created. And it is the first letter in the words like, I think it's Yehi. It's almost like Y-E-H-I. And Yehi means let there be. Lord have mercy. This is your blood. What did it say? B cells producing Y-shaped antibodies. Why in the world would blood be creating Y-shaped antibodies? It could have chose any letter in the alphabet. But there's power in the blood. When something is bad in the blood, the B cells start summoning God and say, come and fix what's being broken right here. Okay. I could spend all day on that. Okay, now, let's read 2 Kings. I want to show you something. I immediately thought of this scripture because I love this story of Elisha. It is one of my favorite stories. If you ever think to yourself that there is more against him than for you, you need to read this part right here, okay? Watch this. 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such and such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou pass not such a place, for thither... I'm going to read the Amplified. The man of God sent word to the king of Israel, saying, be careful not to pass by this place, because the Arameans are pulling back to there. Then the king of Israel sent word to the place about which Elisha had warned him, so he guarded himself there repeatedly. Now the heart of the king of Aram, which is Syria, was enraged over this thing. He called his servants and said to them, will you not tell me which of us is helping the king of Israel? So he thinks that there is somebody reporting to the king of Israel. And then verse 12, it says, one of his servants said, none of us is helping him, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet who is in Israel. He tells the king of Israel the words that you speak in your bedroom. Now that right there would have just like made me like, how in the world, if nobody is helping them, how is Elisha hearing my words spoken? That would have been my first clue that we're serving the wrong God. Because if Elisha can hear what I'm saying privately in my bedroom, and he knows all of my war strategies, he has access to something else, to another power that I need to be associated with. Watch this. So he said, go and see where he is so that I may send men and seize him. So he's like, I got to get this guy on my team. And he was told, he is in Dothan. So he sent horses and chariots and a powerful army there. They came by night and surrounded the city. The servant of the man of God, so the servant of Elisha, got up early and went out, and behold, there was an army with horses and chariots encircling the city. Elisha's servant said to him, oh no, my master. Oh God, what do we do now? What are we to do? Elisha answered, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Foreign invaders. Then all the B cells started summoning the Y antibodies. You imagine? I can only imagine what that must have been like. Verse 17. Then Elisha prayed and said, now watch this. Lord, please, oh, because I like how it's talking about the eyes seeing. And all that. Now watch this. He said, Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. Those weren't military men. That was an angel army. And it really only took one guy on the hill to wipe out that army. But he surrounded them just to show up. I guess it was a display of, what do they call that in the military? A display of power. Demonstration of power. We're going to show them suckers. We're going to just throw a little bomb here and show them that if they mess around, we're going to throw two or three more. So he went ahead and just had a big old demonstration of angels on the hill surrounding that army. Now watch this. Verse 18. When the Arameans came down to him, because they didn't see all those people on the hill. But watch what happens. Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people, this nation, with blindness. Okay, remember we talked about in the blood, the blinding process, what happens when foreign invaders come in and they ain't supposed to be there, the why antibodies are summoned. Please strike this nation with blindness. And God struck them with blindness in accordance with what Elisha requested. I'm telling you, God's a good God, but I'm telling you, you mess around and judgment's coming. He's a God that loves you, but he's also a God of war. And he will fight for the ones who believe in him. He will fight for the righteous. The devil sent an infection, and God sent the Y antibodies to fight the foreign invaders. You see, the blood of Jesus makes you immune to foreign invaders. It doesn't mean invaders won't come, but it does guarantee that he will blind them. That's so good. Now watch this part. I keep telling you it's all great because I just get excited about it. I don't know. It's so exciting. Now watch this. Now, what does the blood do when you have a cut or an abrasion? Got an open wound. What does it do? It clots. So the blood contains platelets that form a plug at the site of an injury to stop the bleeding. Okay? In Psalm verse 30, verse or chapter 30, verse 2, it says, Lord my God, I called to you for help and you healed me. Psalm 147, verse 3 says, he heals the brokenhearted and binds up their wounds. Have you ever had a situation in life where God needed to plug the problem? Did you ever need clotting somewhere? You needed God to fix it. Okay, now I got a revelation on this morning. And I had to write it down. Anytime I get a revelation, I either say it and record it or I write it down. Okay? So the blood is responsible for clotting. When there's something leaking that ain't supposed to be leaking, he designed the blood to put a patch over the problem. Now watch this. This is the revelation I got. When God forms the scab to stop bleeding, don't pick at it and peel it off. Okay? Here's the rest of it. When the process of plugging the hole is complete, the scab will fall off naturally. Too many times we put ourselves in a situation, we ask God to fix it, and then when God starts fixing it, we start picking at it. We start trying to fix it ourselves. Sometimes it's just an obsessive thing. You're like, I got to get that thing off. It's so ugly. And the more you pick at it, what happens? It comes off, and then eventually it keeps making another scab and another scab and another scab. And then what's left? A scar. Does this sound like your life? Or are you the type that says, God, fix it, and you leave it alone, 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 and eventually the process of the clotting or patching the problem is fixed naturally. Because you did what? You kept your hands off of it. Because when you start picking, eventually that scab comes off. He's like, why you keep picking at that? I just fix it. Why you want me? I keep fixing it. You know what's amazing about the blood is the blood will just keep creating a patch. That's what's so great about God. He just keeps bringing a patch to fix the problem. The blood is designed to fix the problem where it's leaking. Your body is not designed to leak the blood. It was never designed to have blood pouring out of it. It wasn't designed that way. It was supposed to stay inside of the body. But every time you pick off the scab, he keeps fixing it automatically because he designed the blood to do that. He designed it to do that. But you know what's amazing about Jesus is he had to bleed so much that there was no fixing it. You know why? Because he was the Lamb of God. I just got that revelation. Your body was designed to fix itself. When he went to the cross, God could have used his blood to patch every stripe to fix what was happening to him. But he didn't. Not one scab formed on the body of Jesus. Why? Because it was meant to pour out every drop of his blood. Not just part of it, all of it. I don't have time to go into it, but the Bible says he bled in seven different places. It started in the garden. When he was bleeding, he was so full of anxiety that he was sweating and it was turning to drops of blood. Can you imagine being so anxious that your sweating and your anxiety causes you to bleed and there's not even a cut on your body? Our bodies were designed to heal. His body was designed to die so that it could heal. He bled every drop. For you and me. There was no fixing his wounds. But he died so that ours could be fixed. I'm sorry, I just got that revelation. It was so overwhelming. Sometimes God will just tell you stuff when you're making a sandwich. I don't know. And the last thing as I close, the blood is designed to regulate. It's a regulator. It helps maintain a stable body temperature by distributing heat throughout the body. It's also a pH balancer. It helps maintain the body's acid-base balance. It is also responsible. It plays a role in regulating blood pressure. The blood maintains a stable body by distributing. It maintains body balance. It's also a regulator. The temperature of life may go up and down, but the blood of Jesus stabilizes and maintains and regulates. All because he was willing to give up all of his blood for yours. Can you imagine loving a creation so much that you'd be willing to die for it? Leaving heaven, where he has everything, to come down here and only stay 30 years. He didn't even stay here 100 years. Stayed here 30 years, 30-something years. Knowing the sacrifice he was going to make. That's why he was bleeding drops of blood in the garden. And I wrote down a few scriptures. It's so overwhelming. Oh my God. Anyway, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and supplication, make your requests known to God. Don't ever forget that he's the problem solver. His blood can solve your problems. And in Isaiah 35, verse 4, it says, say to those with fearful hearts, be strong, do not fear. Your God will come. He will come with vengeance, with divine retribution. He will come and save you. That's Isaiah 35, verse 4. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're not saved today, we want to give you an opportunity to receive Jesus as your Lord. Today is the most important day for the rest of your life. If you've never received Jesus, I want you to pray this prayer with us. And I believe that if you pray this prayer and you mean what you say, that you will go to heaven when you die. The blood of Jesus being shed on the cross was the most important thing in all of Scripture, the whole Bible. It is through that blood that salvation comes. It is through that blood that healing comes. There is nothing else. So if you've never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want you to pray a prayer with all of us, and we're all going to pray it with you to be some comfort to you. And I want you to get serious with God right now. If you don't know God as your Lord and Savior, if you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior and have a personal relationship with Him, today is the day to change the rest of your life. We're going to pray a prayer, and all I want you to do is get serious with God right now. And I believe if you pray this prayer and receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior, that you will go to heaven when you leave this earth. If you've never prayed this prayer, you better get serious with God, because you don't know what could happen to you when you leave this place. Say it after me. Repeat after me. Say it. Say, Father in heaven, I open the door of my heart. I ask you, Jesus, to come into my heart. Cleanse me from all unrighteousness. I believe you, Jesus, died on the cross, was buried in the tomb, and arose again on the third day. I pray this prayer to the Father in Jesus' name. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to give you an opportunity to let me know that that was you. You prayed that prayer. You meant it. You received Jesus as your Lord and Savior for the very first time. If that was you, on the count of three, I want you to raise your hand where I'm the only one looking around. If that was you, just raise your hand up, you know, and hold it up. We'll get you a Bible. But just hold your hand up and let me know that was you on the count of three. Ready? One, two, three, go. Is there anybody? All right, look at me. All right. That's all I got. That's all I got. I told you there was a lot to read, a lot to go over. But I was so excited about preaching it, I just had to get it all out. Amen? All right.